Let's pray. Father, this is our story and our song that we praise you. And it fits into where you led me this morning. As we start to open your word, I just pray that you guide our hearts and our minds, and that your grace is amazing. And even when we have been here, not just 10,000 years, but 10 trillion years, for all of eternity, that your grace will reign supreme, and that if we know Christ as Savior, that we will join you and be with you in eternity, in heaven. And we just praise you for that event, and praise you for Christ who died for us and went to the cross to be resurrected. And we just give you the glory and the praise, and just guide our time as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Okay, if you want to take your Bibles, and it's going to be on the screen as well. And if you have a pew Bible, one of the black Bibles that's there in one of the page or one of the chairs, it's page 1215 if you're using one of those. But we're in 2 Peter chapter 1 is where we're going to start. And just like I said, this was to be Mark's day, but as he called this morning and or texted at 4:13 and said, "I'm extremely sick and not going to make it." And just so as I began to pray about, okay, God, what is the message that you want us to bring or want me to bring? And I just felt prompted to come to this chapter. And we just finished 1 Peter. What, in November? And so I thought, you know, this kind of ties in where we were. And then we took the break for Christmas and went through all of that and just getting restarted as we're preparing to start Esther here in a couple weeks. But as we talk about 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, and as I was preparing to look at, or as I was looking at that this morning, just the events of this past week, let alone the past 2 months or this past year, with the coronavirus, everything that's been happening, businesses are shutting down, economy is being drastically affected. Some of our own people are, we've got some people in the nursing community and health community, their lives are being impacted and their families with what they're facing on a daily basis. Some of our congregants, Mary passed away about a month ago due to the virus. Delta is home. Praise God. And another young man that we started praying for a couple weeks ago, who's a friend, I think he's in Arkansas, but one of the ladies that comes to our congregation, her brother, this guy is a friend to their family. He's been in a coma for 80 days. And during that time also had a heart attack. Due to the blood clots in the lungs and all of those things. And praise God, he is off the ventilator and he's awake and he is returning. So just amazing. And that was one of the things that Mark and I were talking last night. And it's kind of, I heard this on the radio yesterday as well. But what are the blessings that came out of this past 10 months? And you say that, and it's almost like, wait a minute, that can't be true because we lost Anne. We've lost Mary. And there are others that we know the same thing. But otherwise, I mean, other families, there have been blessings. And one of the guys that was on the radio talking about it, he was a business consultant. Much like I am, I've not had to travel now for since February, which is a huge praise God. My wife may not think so at times, but she may be ready to boot me out of the house. But he was talking about, he was on the road, and I've done this, I know. He was on the road for 2 weeks, and then he would get to come home for like two or three, or just a weekend, two or three days. And then he was back on the road for 2 weeks. And he did that for years. And I know what that was like. I spent 4 years. I got on a plane Sunday night or Monday morning. I got off the plane Friday afternoon, went home, threw my laundry in my lap, and she faithfully did it and got me back on the road to go back to the airport on Monday, and for 4 years. And our kids were little, and that would just, it just tore my heart up when our oldest son, who was probably three to five at that age, and at that time, and just his voice, "Dad, where are you? You know, what are you doing?" And there was a lot of times I cried in the hotel that it was, but yet it's where God had us. It's the job that I was in. So there are people that, there have been blessings. There have also been people that are struggling, that they've lost their business. They may have lost their home and wondering what's next. And so it's a mixed bag. But yet God knew from the foundation of the world. We've been using that phrase here lately. I preached on that a couple months ago, that phrase occurs 10 times throughout the Bible. From the foundation of the world, God chose the cross before the world was ever created, Revelation 13, 7 and 8. The plan of salvation was there before then. You and I, God chose us before the foundation of the world. And we're going to see that in this passage. 1 Peter talks about that all the way through. So this doesn't take God by surprise. He knows where we're at. And it's something, when I finish this, I want to tie in. Because I have to confess, I've been extremely concerned about my children, my grandchildren, with the way things of the world and the way things are going, and with where our country is currently. Should that continue? What about our children that are 3 years old, 5 years old, 10 years old, you know, or teenagers, whatever the case might be? And what is in store for them? So it's a crazy time, yet God has it in control. And do we trust him? And that's what I want to get into today. So 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3. And so let's just read that through verse 11. "Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and they are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word and just ask that you open it to our hearts and our minds. Each of us is at a different place, but you know what we need, and you know where you want to direct us and where you want us to go. Some of us may still be in the pure milk stage, and others of us are somewhere else. But continue to pursue us as the hound of heaven. We know that you will, and that you guide and direct us. We pray for your wisdom and your blessing and your grace, for we know that we will fall at times and we will sin, but that, praise God, that you forgive and you restore and you return us. And we just praise you for that and ask that you guide our hearts this morning as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my first point, granting of grace in there, 2 Peter verses 3 and 4 in chapter 1. His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Through these, he granted to us his precious and magnificent promises so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world on account of lust. Question is, do you believe that? I mean, you can read those words, but do you truly comprehend and embody what God is calling us to? His divine power, it's him who has made that. And through that passage, there were a couple things, and we'll get to those, where he chose us. Going back to 1 Peter chapter 1, as he goes through all of those verses, he chose us from the foundation of the world. We didn't choose him. We are not more sovereign than God. He is the ultimate sovereign. It's him who makes that choice, not us. He decides, and that's a tough subject to talk about sometimes, because there are those that say, no, we have total freedom of choice, total free will. If that were true, then that makes us more sovereign than God Almighty, and that cannot be. It's him that chooses us. And he's granted, and in that choosing, he has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He has given us everything from grace and mercy that we need. It may not be the things that we want, but it's the things that he has determined that we need and where he wants to take us and how he wants us to grow. Each of us has been gifted in certain ways. Some of us have a gift of teaching. Others have the gift of prayer. Others have the gift of helps and mercy and so on. At the point of accepting Christ as your Savior, those gifts are given to you. And it's what it's not a talent. You may be talented musically. You may be talented in business. You may be talented in agriculture or whatever the case might be. But your spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit brings to you at the point of salvation is that gift which God wants you to grow into and to use for the body of Christ. There's the scriptures about all of the gifts that talk about, you know, I am the ear, I am the finger, I am the foot, I am the eye, all of these things. Each of us brings something different to the body. Each of us is not everything encompassing. He's made each of us unique, each of us special, and what he wants us to accomplish, what he wants to accomplish through us. So it's that he has granted to us in giving us those gifts and placing us in the body of which he wants to bring as his bride and to bring the gospel to the nations, to our community, wherever you're called, whether it's here in Alt or Pierce or someplace else or Africa or who knows where, China. But where is he calling you? Where is he calling us? Where is he calling me? Through these, he has granted us his precious and magnificent promises. And sometimes you think about that. Look at where you're at in your station of life. And would you, in Delta's case, having spent these 30 days approximately, 40 days, you know, in a hospital, you know, would you call that a precious and magnificent promise? Or, you know, if you know someone who has struggled with what they've been born with, possibly, or that you've lost your job and you can't find a job. I have a nephew that has been in the oil industry, and sometimes I think Brent's not looking closely enough. But he's a young man in his early 30s, and he is, with the oil industry being what is, he is a mechanical engineer, and he is struggling for the past 18 months to 2 years to find a job. He has a family with young children. And as you're walking through that, wondering where the next paycheck is going to come from, you know, do you call that a magnificent promise? But yet, those are the things of life, and God calls us to be faithful, to trust him, and to not run ahead and say, I've got to go do something. Yes, we have to be pursuing, we've got to be working, we've got to be doing our part, but we've also got to trust that God will bring us in his right time to the right place. And let him move through us, because then he can bless us as he truly desires and as he wants to. So are you actively pursuing? Do you truly believe that those two verses, that his divine power has granted everything to you, and that he has called us in verse 3, and that he has granted these promises to us? Going on, point number 2, the pursuit of grace. So knowing this, if that's the grace that God has given us, how are we pursuing? What are we doing with it? Verses 5 and 7. Now for this reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. So what are we doing with all of those things? What are we doing with his word? What are we doing with what Christ has endowed to us? That we are to apply with all diligence moral excellence. Does anybody have the King James? Instead of moral excellence, do you have the word virtue? That's not a word we throw around a lot today. It's not a word you hear. And yet, you know, in times past, it was a word that was used a lot. And it's just something that modern English, it's not part of what we talk about. But what does that word truly mean? And why is it first? Look at this list. Would you have put that word first as you go through, you know, virtue or moral excellence, self-control, perseverance, love, brotherly kindness? God's put these things in this order for a reason. That moral excellence, or that word virtue. Virtue means conformity to a standard of right, morality. The practice of moral duty and abstaining from vice or sin. Are we truly pursuing that type of lifestyle? Bravery, valor, courage. So there are military terms wrapped up in this word. And that could even apply to the leading of your family. Men, are you leading your family? I mean, this is not a rabbit trail we're going to go down, because that could go a long ways. But are you leading your family with bravery, with valor, with courage? Because you know what Satan wants to do. He wants to destroy you as a Christian, wants to destroy your marriage, wants to destroy your children, because that's his mission. So do you see it in that light? Are you willing to step up to that kind of calling and realize what God wants you to do? That you are the protector of that family. Granted, as husband and wife, the two of you are equal, because we have been created in his image, both husband and wife, both male and female. And that creation is equal in nature. But the roles that come, the husband has been placed over, not to lord it over and not to demean or subvert or put down, but to protect, to ensure that the wife has all that she needs and all that she can do, because she has the most precious gift, the value of life. So there's a lot wrapped up in that term, virtue. Also excellence or merit. So those are all words that wrap up. What is that definition of virtue? Like I said, it's not a word that we use a lot today. But with all diligence, in your faith, and it takes faith, trusting God to lead and God to direct, but apply all moral excellence. And out of that, then we're to apply knowledge. If you look at Colossians 2, 1 through 3, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on behalf," Paul's talking here to the church in Colossae, "I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea, and for those and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the fullest assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself." I mean, he's talked about a lot of things in those three verses, but ultimately he's saying, just because you've not seen my face, this is Paul talking to the church, but are you pursuing the knowledge of the mystery of Jesus Christ? And when you see the word mystery here in Scripture, when we see the word mystery today, we think about mystery novels and, you know, what's next? What's this person going to discover? Or the whodunit? In Scripture, that's not what mystery means. Mystery is things that are unknown. And they were to pursue knowing those things through the study of the Word and to be in prayer and to submit themselves to teaching and so on, to learn. And granted, we won't find out everything, because there are things that God has designed that we won't know until it happens. Like the true timing of the second coming, for example. And there's other things. But there's things that we will never know until we truly arrive. And as we're told in Scripture, then we will know fully as we are known face to face. But there are parts of that mystery that we need to search out. And it's the study of God's Word. And as He reveals those to you in the timing as you study His Word, because we all come to that in a different point and in a different way. And I've talked about different times reading the book of Revelation again here lately. I've talked about this. There are strong angels and there are regular angels. And I'm like, what's the difference? But God has said there is a difference. So there are, and like the baskets, when Christ fed the 5,000 and Christ fed the 4,000. The first baskets were a small basket, like a picnic basket. The second time, the baskets were a large basket that you could put a person in. It's the basket that Paul was let down over the wall. So that word basket is totally different in those two different scenarios. It's another slight rabbit trail, but God teaches us different things at different times. As you study the scripture, you're going to see things that you've not seen before, because he knows before you weren't ready for it. But now you are. And so he's teaching you those things. Learning knowledge. Self-control. Ephesians 5:18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And it doesn't just have to be wine, it could also be lust. Or it could be the pursuit of money. Or just that you're lazy. Where do you have trouble in self-control of you yourself as your person? What do you need to work on? What do you need to pursue? All of us are in a different point, and we all have different natures. Some of us struggle with different parts of those, whether it be lust or finances or lying, or there's just things that you continually get tripped up over. And are you willing to lay those before the throne and say, God, I need help with this, and truly pursue him to lead you through that? And that may take time. It's going to take a lot of work in some cases. And in some of those, you'll fail. We all fail. I fail. But God will continue to work with us and through us. So self-control, putting his word in our heart and mind and studying it so that we're pursuing that. Perseverance, Luke 21, verse 19. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Wherever God has placed you, and as I read that, I didn't think about that this morning when I put this together, but the four men that went into the Amazon in 1956, roughly, Jim Elliott, if you know that name, if you know that story, they had been working with the Indians there trying to bring the gospel. And they'd made a lot of approaches, and they had brought food. They dropped food from airplanes. They sent food up by boats. They did a lot of different things just to establish contact, let them know, we're not here to wipe you out. We love you. We care for you. And so after months of doing this and thinking, they felt comfortable that now they could physically go in and talk to them. And so they landed on their float plane on the river and got out on a sandbar. And within a few minutes, they were attacked by the tribe that they had been trying to work with. And all four of them died. And Jim Elliott's wife, for years, continued that work, finally leading the chief of that tribe to Christ after many, many years. So that perseverance, and just, you think about that story, and, you know, if your spouse lost their life in that event, would you have the courage to continue? Sadly, a lot of us probably wouldn't. But she was faithful in that. She felt that that's where God was calling. And a lot of those tribes people have now been saved. And Christ, the gospel has been advanced in that area of Amazon. So perseverance. Wherever God has placed you, whatever you're working with, you know, maybe as a school teacher here, or in a business, or your business is struggling, or your marriage is struggling. But persevering and trusting, having faith that God is going to work through that and that he's going to lead you in that scenario. we also got to be realistic sometimes and recognize that people are people and can be stubborn and hard-hearted and fail to see and make bad decisions. But even when they do those things, are we still pursuing the gospel of Jesus Christ in our own life and wherever he's placed us, around us? Godliness, 1 Timothy 4:7 and 8, but have nothing to do with worldly fables. We're not just picking on ladies here, so don't read that into this verse. But as Timothy is talking about to the church, and he's really talking about to the men and becoming elders, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women, but on the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Are we pursuing holiness in that? Godliness. Devotion is another word. Piety is another one of those words like virtue that we don't throw around a lot today. But are you pursuing that holiness in your own life to accomplish what God wants to do in the present life, but also for the life that is to come? Yeah, you can join a health club, work out, do all of those things, and that is a little profit, but of greater profit is the study of God's word and what you're doing with it. Brotherly kindness, Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. The word Philadelphia, that's what brotherly love means. You look at the word city Philadelphia, and I would say that somewhere they missed the boat, or they've fallen off the boat, or maybe they never got on the boat. But be devoted to one another as Christians and give preference to one another in honor. That we are to be subservient to our fellow brothers and sisters. Love, John 15:13. The word agape. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. And ultimately, that's where Christ is calling us. As Christ rose from the grave and spent those next 50 days on the earth, shortly before he ascended, he's traveled from Jerusalem. He's now on the Sea of Galilee. John chapter 21, but talks about, they actually use the word the Sea of Tiberias, which is the same place. It's the same name. But the disciples are out there fishing. They're in their boat. And Christ, it's early in the morning, and he's built a fire and he's cooking fish. He's going to eat breakfast. He's in his glorified body, but he's still going to eat. And the disciples see it's the Lord. And so they quickly get to shore as fast as their sailboats can go. And as they come up shore and they're just starting to converse, and Christ asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, in the scripture we read, Peter says, "Yes, I love you." But the word that Peter is using is, "Yes, I like you." And Christ asks him a second time, "Do you love me?" And he says, "Yeah, I like you." And Christ finally says, "Okay, do you like me?" And Peter says, "You know all things. Yes, I love you." And he's reestablishing Peter as his relationship with Christ after Peter's denial the night of the crucifixion, prior to the crucifixion. But he's preparing Peter for the mission to come. Are you willing to lay down your life for those that will come behind you, those that the churches that you will lead? And Peter, as he writes this, he's in Rome. So we're 30 some years after the crucifixion. And Peter is in Rome. and he's talking, he's writing to the churches in Asia Minor, in what is today present-day Turkey. And that's what these letters, 1st and 2nd Peter, are about. But he's fulfilling the mission of what Christ called him to do. Do you love these? And are you willing to serve me? And ultimately, yes, he is, to the point that he surrendered his life. Lastly, the benefit with knowing all of this. 2 Peter 1:8-11. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. For if these qualities are yours and they're increasing, all this stuff that we just talked about, moral excellence, knowledge, perseverance, etc., if those things are increasing, if you're growing, which is what Christ is calling you to do, it's calling me to do, it's calling all of us to do, then they do not make you useless or unproductive. For the one who lacks these qualities, if you're not pursuing those, then you're blind or short-sighted, which is, seems pretty harsh, but Christ is putting it right where it's at. Do you love me, Peter? And if so, are you growing? Have you progressed from the pure milk of the word to the meat that he's calling you to walk into, if you're Jim Elliot or others? Verse 10, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling. Do you get out of bed every day looking for, Lord, where do you want me to work? Where are you at? How do I join you? Where do I join you? What do you want me to do? And it may be as simple as just getting the groceries or going to work or something like that. But it may be something far more larger. That there's somebody there he wants you to talk to witness to, or to be there in support of. And as I say that here, it's probably been 20 years ago when we moved from Grand Island, Nebraska to here. And my wife and I were sitting there one night about 9 o'clock, and the pastor of the church in Grand Island where we've been going calls me. And he says, do you remember so-and-so? And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, well, his sister just committed suicide that morning in Sterling. And they airlifted her to Greeley. And he said, this man, he said, he's at his wit's end. His family is, he said, none of his family knows Christ. They're all there at the hospital, and they're trying to decide, do they continue with her on life support, even though brain function and all of this is not happening? And the family is just a complete basket case. And he said, would you go down there? I said, yeah. So at 10 o'clock at night, I arrive at the hospital, find him and his family, and they are just, I mean, as you can imagine, the mother is wailing, she's crying, she's completely distraught, as you would expect. And other members of the family are in similar form, and this guy is just, he's just like, I don't know what to do. And I spent the next probably hour and a half with him, and I don't think I probably said more than hi and how are you, and he just poured out his heart. But it was just being there and listening to him and saying, you know, God, you know this. God will carry you through no matter how difficult this is and how bad it hurts. And hopefully some of those of your family members around you will come to see what you have, because you have a peace that they don't. And it's totally obvious. But you can convey that message to them. And I went home and I never heard from him again. Haven't heard a thing. But just, when God calls, are you willing? Are you able? Stand in the gap for wherever he's placed you. So, to end, this is, I don't do Facebook. Somebody sent this to my son, and he sent it to us. And some of you may have seen this the last couple days. And I've got to admit, this is an area that I've sinned in, because I haven't really trusted God to this depth. But in light of what's going on around us today and where we're at, and in light of everything that we've just talked about, if these qualities are yours and they're increasing, what are you to do? And this dad, he writes this, he said, "Don't feel sorry for or fear for your kids because of the world they're growing up in. It is not what it used to be. God created them and called them for the exact moment in time that they're in. Their life wasn't a coincidence or an accident. Raise them up to know the power they walk in as children of God. Train them up in the authority of his word. Teach them to walk in faith, knowing that God is in control. Empower them to know they can change the world. Don't teach them to be fearful or disheartened by the state of the world, but hopeful that they can do something about it. Every person in all of history has been placed in the time that they were in because of God's sovereign plan. He knew Daniel could handle the lion's den. He knew David could handle Goliath. He knew Esther could handle Haman. He knew Peter could handle persecution. He knows that your child can handle whatever challenge they face in their life. He created them specifically for it. Don't be scared for your children, but be honored that God chose you to parent, the generation that is facing the biggest challenges in our lifetime. Rise to the challenge. Raise Daniel's, Esther's, David's, Peter, Paul. God isn't scratching his head wondering what he's doing with this mess of the world. He has an army he's raising up to drive back the darkness and make him known all over the earth. Don't let your fear steal the greatness of God that God has placed on them. I know it's hard to imagine them as anything besides our sweet little babies and our sweet little children. And we just want to protect them from anything that could ever be hard on them. But they were born for such a time as this. And so were we. So back to that first question that I asked when I started this. His divine power has granted to us everything. Do you believe it? And are you willing to step into that and fulfill it and have faith that God will take care of the rest of it? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your challenge. And sometimes that scares the socks off of us. But you're greater than anything that we will face because you knew it from the foundation of the world. You put us there intending to do something through us. Give us the strength and the vision and the courage, the valor to see and trust that you will guide us through. And you may have an entirely different, and you probably do, an entirely different outcome than what we envision. But help us to trust you with that and not run away, but to walk in the fullness and the confidence of the grace that you have blessed us with for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.